Okay, here we go. We're right side. Okay. The Torah says, we'll do some famous rashis on Parshas Bishalach. The Torah says, "Bahamushim alu b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael came out chamushim." What does chamushim mean? It means they were armed. That's the pashut shot. They carried with them weapons. The Rashi also quotes, we discussed this last week, what does chamushim mean? Echad chamisha yatsu. Chamushim means a fifth. Only a fifth made it. I told you this is terrifying. That means four-fifths didn't make it. This is terrifying. The B'nai Yisrael are leaving Mitzrayim, and four-fifths did not make it. Never. They were there for a couple hundred years. Their fathers were slaves. They were slaves. The grandparents were slaves. And in the end, they didn't make it. This is what's happening nowadays. It's happening right now. Right now, we have millions of Jews in the world. And unfortunately, and Mashiach's going to come, they're about to share them soon.
Man.
Unfortunately, roughly every century, a big percentage of Jews falls away. It happened with the Reform movement and the conservative movement. They're gone, most of them. Now it's happening with the new conservative movements that are starting nowadays. And it's so tragic and it's so sad. And every person has to say to himself, I'm not going to be one of those four-fifths. Me and my family. This is terrifying. It's terrifying. Me and my family, that's a big job. Me and my family means forever. The gematria of me and my family is forever. But it's you and it's your kids and it's your grandkids. It's everything. So we have to learn from this Rashi to do what we can do. We can make good decisions to be religious and to live in a religious neighborhood and try to make sure we have a religious family and everything. That's what we have to do. This is a scary Rashi. Never forget this Rashi. Chamushim means four-fifths didn't make. The Medrash says it was more than four-fifths. One Medrash says it was 49-50ths, which is even more. Alright, so is that clear? Chamushim. All we can do is control. We can control. We have to make good decisions. That's what life is all about. Life is about b'chira chofshis. All we can do is make good decisions. So you have to know, hey, I've got to make a good decision. I've got to be religious. That's a good decision. I want to marry somebody religious. That's a good decision. All right, let's continue. The end of Perek Yud Gimel says, Lo Yamish Ha'anan Amud Anan Yomam V'Amud Ha'esh Laila. So Rashi says a nice idea. The Amud Ha'anan was Mashlim L'Amud Ha'esh. That means we had the light of the cloud would overlap with the pillar of the fire. What does that mean? 24/7 Hashem is with us. Hashem guides us. Hashem's always guiding us. This was the beginning of Am Yisrael being guided as a nation. We're leaving Mitzrayim now. And Hashem wanted to show, I have your back. I'm always with you. I'm not sort of with you most of the time. We don't always see it. But Hashem is always with us. And how does it start? We have the Emunah Anan during the day and the Emunah Esh at night. And Rashi says, one led into the other. Sha'ad shelo yishka zeh o lezeh. When this one would set, the other one would rise. It was 24/7. It was. Is that clear? It's a very beautiful idea. Hashem's always with us. Very nice. Okay, next. Rashi says, the Pasuk says, Perek Yedalet, Pasuk Dalet, V'kavda b'far v'chol chelo. Hashem is going to glorify himself through Paro and then through his entire army. Who's mentioned first? Paro. Why is Paro mentioned first? So Rashi says, because he started it. Huichil ba'avera. He was the beginning. It was his idea to enslave the Jews. And therefore, mimenu hischila peronius. And from him, punishment began. In other words, Hashem judges us mida keneged mida. The judgment isn't sort of perfect. The judgment is perfect. You have to know that. We get what we deserve. So here, it's one word in the Torah. Since Paro began the slavery, so now it's time to take the real revenge, the real punishment against Paro. So he's the first one. The Torah emphasizes he's first. He cuffed up a Paro. So we have to realize life is mida keneged mida. Okay. Next, by Yugad Lamelech Mitzrayim, he heard that they ran away and they chased us, and it took 6 days. Right, Rashi explains, it took 6 days, and they caught up to us on the seventh day. V'leil Shvi Yardu Layam, and B'shachris Amru Shira V'hu Yom Shvi Shel Pesach. So you have to know this. The seventh day of Pesach is a Yom Tov. Why is it a Yom Tov? The seventh day of Sukkot is not a Yom Tov. Why is Pesach different than Sukkot? Sukkot, you have one day of Yom Tov, then Chol HaMoed, then you have a new Yom Tov called Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is connected to Sukkot, but it's not part of Sukkot. How come Pesach has a special Yom Tov at the end? Why is Pesach different? The answer is because of Kriyas Yom Tov. Kriyas Yom Tov took place on the seventh day of Pesach. So the Yom Tov of the seventh day of Pesach is the Yom Tov of Kriyas Yom Tov. Atzah is the Yom Tov of Kriyas Yom Tov. That's why there's a special Yom Tov. The Mepharshim should discuss it. Just as a side point, I mean, it's a little early to remind ourselves of this, but it's good to remind because people make the mistake. On the seventh day of Pesach, when you say Kiddush, it's the one time you don't say Shachriyam. If you go to hotels, so sometimes you hear this. The seventh day of Pesach is the seventh day of Pesach. It's not the beginning of a new Yom Tov of Pesach. It's the seventh day of Pesach. So you don't say Shachriyam when you say Kiddush on the seventh day of Pesach. When women light candles, they don't say Shachriyam. On the first night of Yom Tov, you say Shachriyam. On the second night of Yom Tov, you say Shachriyam because it's Sfeika D'Yoma. On Shmini Atzeres, you say Shachriyam, which is a new Yom Tov. The Gemara says that. But on the seventh day of Pesach, you don't say Shachriyam. Why? Because it's still part of Pesach still. Try not to forget that. Okay. Then the Torah says in Perek Yudal and Pasuk Yud, Uparo Hikri. And Paro came close. It says Paro went first. So Rashi says, what's the idea? Normally, when you fight a battle, people in the front are the ones that get killed. There's more chance of getting killed. So normally, where do the kings hang out? In the back. But Paro knew his people weren't so interested in going after Bnei Israel so much. He had to convince him. He said, I'm going to go first. Paro Hikriv. He says, Hikriv Atzmo, Bnei's Ametz, Ikadim Hikriv. He went in front. As he said before, I'm going to go first. So that was Paro went first. Okay, that's the Pashut Pshat. The Medrash says, you know what Hikriv means? Hikriv is Hifil, causes others to come close. When Paro came and attacked us, it caused us to become what? Close to Hashem. Because we had Tzaros. And we turned to Hashem. This is a big deal. The Jewish people, from the beginning of time, when we had Tzaros, we turned to Hashem. So Paro caused us to get closer to Hashem by attacking. So that's true. That's what happens in life. What's our challenge? Our challenge is to get close to Hashem. What? Even what? Even what? Without the goyim attacking. You understand? We're not. Guys, this is a big time. We're not supposed to need this. I told you guys. Log into a person is sick. So the first thing you should think about is what? Thank God that what? He's been healthy the previous 6 months. That's what Victor Miller always says. You wake up one morning and your knees hurt. What's the first thing you should think about?
Yesterday
my knees didn't hurt. And the previous 6 months my knees didn't hurt. So that's true. But what's the higher level? To thank Hashem that your knees don't hurt just because they don't hurt. Don't wait for a bad thing to happen. So Paro, it's true. Paro caused us to get close to Hashem. We turn to Hashem. But our challenge in life is to open our eyes. It's all there. It's there now. Air is wonderful. Thank Hashem that we can breathe. When's the last time any of us really thanked Hashem that we can breathe? Avigdor Miller once. What's the great story? His granddaughter comes into the kitchen where he's living, and his head is in the sink. He had stopped up the sink, and his head's in the sink. She's sitting there. He's like a tzaddik, like one of the gedolim, the tzaddik. Avigdor Miller.
Who is this?
Avigdor Miller. His head's in the sink, and his granddaughter's watching him. She thinks it's a little strange, because it is a little strange. And he comes to her and goes, oh, takes a deep breath. So she says, Zeta, yes. Why'd you have your head in the sink? That's a little weird, Zeta. Why did you, hello, why are you putting your head in the sink? Sir, don't forget this musa should change your whole life forever.
Put your head in the sink.
He said, Rabbi Victor Miller said, I was walking in today from yeshiva, and somebody complained about the pollution in New York City.
Ozone.
And I didn't want to lose even this much hakaras hatov for the air. So there's a little pollution, but the air keeps you alive. It's still perfect. The air is perfect, keeps you alive. So he said, in order to make sure that I wouldn't lose this much hakaras hatov for the air, he held his breath for a minute underwater, and then you appreciate the air. That's well. That's when you're a tzaddik. You saw it all. That's when you're a tzaddik. So we should appreciate the air without that. The air is amazing. The air produces everything. The air produces everything. I talked to a scientist. If you plant apple seeds in the ground, an apple tree grows. And the apples weigh 200 pounds. Okay. Then you weigh the soil after the tree grew, and it weighs around a tenth of a pound less than when you planted. So where did all the apples come from?
So basically, the scientists explained the apples come from the air. The nutrients in the air are what produce most of the food that we eat. Everything's in the air. We should appreciate the air. The pasuk says, "Vayaseres ofen markavosav." Hashem removed the wheels from the chariots. Why was that such a significant part of the nes? So I saw the following idea in the Hegyoni Halacha. So you have to know, by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Rishonim draw a picture of what it looked like. Bnei Yisrael did not cross Yamsuf from one side to the other. Rather, they went through the Yam, but they came out on the same side further down along the bank of the Yamsuf. It was basically 12 concentric semicircles. The picture, each of the shevet had its own row, and there were 12 concentric semicircles that went through the Yam Suf and came out on the same side further down along the riverbank. That's what the Rishonim say Kriyas Yam Suf looked like. It wasn't like this across, but it wasn't like that. Rather, it was like this. This is wrong. The official picture is it was like this. They came in and came out on the same side, just much further down. And the picture in Tosfos is 12 concentric semicircles. That phrase, 12 concentric semicircles, is in my Haggadah. I got it from the Arab school footnotes. I don't know what it was. Anyway, it means 12 semicircles. So this is what Kriyas Yam Suf looked like. And that's why Rashi says, that's why it says later that what? That the Yamsuf spit out the Mitzrim. Spit out the Mitzrim. That Bnei Yisrael says, hold on. Pasuk Lamed. It says, Bar Yisrael Mitzrayim Meisal Sfasim. Bnei Yisrael saw the Egyptians dead on the riverbank. What do you mean when they saw them? So Rashi says, Paltan Hayam, the Yam spit them out. Kidei Shelo Yom Yisrael, the Jews shouldn't say, just like we came out, they're also coming out a little further down, and they're going to chase us. They understood they were on the same side. Maybe they're coming out over here. So he spit them out, and they spit out. So 12 concentric semicircles. So that is the official picture. Okay. And Chazal say there were, each shevet. So the question is, there's a question which the Aharonim raised. So let's say they were in order. Let's say this was shevet Reuven, let's say. So shevet Reuven would have taken around 2 hours to go around. And this shevet would have taken around 4 hours, let's say. I'm just making up numbers here. So then, after two hours, when they're here, the Jews come out, the Mitzvah should have come out too. You understand the problem? You understand the problem? If the...
They all died.
But they were chasing them. No, well, if...
In the water.
Well, hold on. Kriyas Yam Suf, that's a good question. Kriyas Yam Suf, all the water is up there and there's no... And the Yam is split. So we assume this is what, that the Yam was there until all the Jews got through. Right. So then that means the Yam had to be split 4 hours till the outside guy, Sheva, got all the way through. So but then after 2 hours then, if the Yam is still split,
then when the Jews got through, so then the Mitzvim should have come after them onto the onto. What?
These numbers
I made up numbers. I'm just saying if it's an inside circle, it's much shorter than the outside circle. So there is a view that each of the 12 walls fell as they went through. That there's one view like that. And there's a nace on top of the nace, that this circle, the water fell in first like that. But I saw one of the Achronim says, that's why Hashem took the wheels off the Markaboset. So they got stuck. In other words, these Mitzrayim are chasing Bnei Israel. Their wheels were good. And they're going around 4 hours all the way like this. And then the Mitzrayim in the inner circle, their wheels fell off. So they got stuck in the mud and they couldn't go normally. And that's why when we got out after 2 hours, they were still stuck there for two more hours. That's the pshat. This is what I saw in the...
Rav Hirsi
quotes the Achronim. That's the pshat. Ofen Markavosov. That's why that was part of the miracle. In order for all of the Mitzrayim to be stuck in there exactly the same amount of time, that's why they got their wheels stuck in the mud. Anyway, this is the official picture. This is the official picture of Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, now there's a very important Rashi here. Very historically important Rashi. Oz Yashir Moshe. Then Bnei Israel sang a song. So then is past tense, and Yashir is?
Future
tense. That's a problem. Then Moshe Wilson. Who raises that question? Rashi. And he gives a whole pshat. So Rashi gives a pshat. And the Mizrahi talks about this Rashi. So why is this a historic Rashi? Because this is the topic of
Una.
The first phone call. When I called my wife for the first time, I don't know, we were set up. It's our first phone call. I was terrified. I don't know how to talk to a girl on the phone. Well, I don't know what to do. So somebody said, talk about what you're comfortable with. Now, very good. Talk about what you're comfortable with. So I was comfortable with learning. She was teaching. Talk about Stark. You know, the Stark about the thing. So the Stark way to meet your wife. I'll tell you something about it. So this is our first phone call. Our first phone call was, I asked, what are you teaching? And she was teaching this Rashi with the Mizrahi. I was very impressed. Oz Yashir, then he will sing. That's what we spoke about. And Rav Shai is saying, a geek square. Anyway, whatever, that's the name. That's what I was thinking. Anyway, this is what we discussed.
Yeah, like
this was our first phone call. No, stop playing.
Rav Shai
is something that's a famous Radak. A famous Radak. Okay, sorry, Rav Shai. Okay, very good. No, so I'll tell you, I'll tell you what I told them. That in Parshas Bo, there's a famous Rashi. There's a famous Rashi. Ushmartem es ha-matzos. Guard the matzos. So it means they should become chametz. So what does Rashi say? Guard the mitzvot. The mitzvah comes to Biyadcha, al tachlisera. Do it right away. Do the mitzvah right away. So I was, my in-laws went up to Mount Ari Lodge. I love a shalom. And Ari Lodge is a place where somebody said Grossinger. Grossinger was like the grandparents. Not Ari Lodge is like where the parents went. It was a place where, for a hotel, for Pesach. So my wife and I, at the time, were dating for a while. And it was a couple of months. And my friend, Rabbi Aaron Cohen, Shalita, sent me a note. The note was this big. He sent it with Dr. Schatz's son. And I'm there at Mount Ari Lodge. I get this note. It's this big. And the note has two lines on it. One line says, I ain't Rambam, Hilchos Ishtus Perek Gimel, Hilchos Kaf Gimel. And then I ain't Rashi, Shmos, Perek Yibes, Pasuk Yibes. The Rambam says, there's a mitzvah to get married. Rashi says, there's a mitzvah, it comes to your hands, you grab it right away. So he was sending me that it's time to get engaged. So I did. I listened to my friend. I go, we got engaged over Pesach. So I should have kept it. I should have kept it. It was a note this big. And the note is this big. It had two makaros on it. Rambam Ishus Perek Gimel and Rashi Shmos Perek Yud Beis. Okay, one more thing, then we'll stop.
I have a question.
In a second. Last thing. Then we're going to stop. Excuse me. Zekeli Ve'anveim. This is my Hashem, and I'm going to beautify him. So Rashi quotes from the Unkelus, and Veyu comes from the word Nevei, an abode. This is a remez to the Beis HaMikdash. There are other remezim. So in Kriyas Yamsuf, there are muzzin to the Beis Hamikdash. Why is that? Because Hashem has a plan for all of Jewish history. From the very, very beginning, the goal is to get to the Beis Hamikdash. That was from the very beginning. The goal of Kriyas Yamsuf is to have the Shekhinah amongst us, having the Beis Hamikdash. That's the goal. And this is why, this is one of the reasons why at the Seder, we're always focusing on Zecher LeMikdash. Rabbi Meir Twersky has a whole essay about this. We have to understand that the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not just to become free, it was to get the Torah. And the purpose of getting the Torah is to have the Shekhinah amongst us in our own lives, and that comes through the Beis Hamikdash. So it's all one, from Mitzrayim to Mashiach. It's all one big plan of Jewish history, the march of centuries. That's why you have to understand, at Kriyas Yamsuf, we're already thinking about the Beis Hamikdash. It's all one big continuum of Jewish history. Okay, we'll stop here.
But where can we get the Haggadah?
The Haggadah is available right here.
Okay,
right there. That's very good. No, by the way, hello. So this is the picture, the cover of the Haggadah.
Rabbi, you made your own Haggadah.
So somebody said to me, Rabbi Ginsburg, your cover is not accurate because you only have one row, and it says there were 12 rows. So it's a bad picture. You understand? So I went and I asked Rav Nevensal Shlita. I asked Rav Nevensal. And he said, this is one of the 12. So he was okay with it. Rav Nevensal was okay with my cover. I asked him. He was okay with my cover. That's one of the 12. It's fine. He laughed. It's fine. Okay, some more ideas in B'Shalach. So in the Shira, it says in Pasuk, Hey, Tamos Yechas Yuma Yordu V'Msalos K'moeven. They descended into the depths like stone. So Rashi says, elsewhere it says, Ka'oferis, like lead, and elsewhere it says kakash, like straw. Other psukim in the Shira. So Rashi says, Harashayim kakash holchin v'mitarfin olin v'yardin. The very big Rashayim were like straw. They were thrown up and down in the water. Beinonim ke'evin, they sank like a stone. They sank slowly. And haksherim, the kosher ones, sank quickly like an oferis. They were heavier. They sank quickly. The point is, again, it's exactly Mida Keneged Mida. When Hashem punishes, when Hashem rewards, everything's exact. So even the way the Mitzrim died was exact. Some died in the faster way, the slower way. So Hashem's judgment is exact and it's perfect. And that's just one example among many of the perfect Mida Keneged Mida. Okay. And a similar idea. And Perek Tezvav Pasuk Yud Beis, Natiso Yemincha Tivlemo Aretz. The earth swallowed them. So Rashi says, Mikan Shezachu LeKvura, that the Egyptians were Zocha for Kvura, eventually for Kvura. That's what the Medrash says. Why? Bishar Shem Hashem Atzadik. Earlier, back in Perek Tez, they said Hashem Atzadik, so they were Zocha to Kvura. This means they were Rishayim, and they were killed in during Kriyas Yamsuf. But anything good that you do, you get schar for. Hashem's judgment again is perfect. So to be out there on the ground is a bizayon, and it's a terrible degradation. But to be buried is a zchus. So again, the pasuk is emphasizing that there was, it's an exact mida keneged mida. Since the Mitzrayim did something right in a sense, therefore they were zocha to kavura. Okay, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yedalad. It says, Shemu Amim Yirgazim. Peoples heard and they trembled. And then it says, Chilas Chaz Yoshvei Pelashas, the inhabitants of Plishtim. So what are we talking, why were they scared, the Yoshvei Plishtim? Yoshvei Pelashas? So Rashi here quotes from a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, that Taka, some of the Jews left early. The Bnei Ephraim left Mitzrayim early. Mir was Hakeitz, they left Mitzrayim early. V'yatzu b'chazaka, came a first b'divrei, I mean there was a war, and they were killed. Haragum anshei Ges, and the people from Ges who were Plishti, killed them. This is in Divrei Yamim, Aleph Perek Zayin. So it's interesting, what exactly were they thinking when they left early? So Ibn Ebn Sal explains, you know, they left 30 years early. So the question, so it's like this. We know that Bnei Israel left early too. We were supposed to be retiring 400 years. We were only there for 210 years. So Chazal explained that the 400 years start from when Yitzchak was born. When Avram turned 100, when Yitzchak was born. And the idea is, there's a big yesod in Hashkafa. Every Nebuah is true. But exactly how the Nebuah is going to play out depends on what Bnei Israel do, how we live our lives. So the Nebuah could have been 400 years from when we went down to Mitzrayim, but another possible meaning is 400 years from when Yitzchak was born. And that's what happened in the end. And another possible meaning could have been 400 years from the Bris Ben Abasarim. So once you understand that there's more than one potential way a Nebuah can play out, then it's not so crazy that Bnei Ephraim tried to leave early. Because that's what they interpreted. They were wrong. They should have listened to Moshe. But it wasn't insane. They felt this was their way they felt they were living and experiencing the 400 years starting from the Bris Ben HaBasharim. That's what Ibn Ebn Sal, explains. Okay. Later in the parasha, in Mara, the Torah says, "Sham sam lo chok mishpat v'sham niso." Hashem gave us some mitzvos in Mara. Rashi says, "Mixas parshios shel Torah sheis askubem." We got some of the mitzvos to learn, to be involved in. Shabbos, paraduma, and dinim. Now it's very interesting. Paraduma is on the list. Now the paraduma, some of the halachos of paraduma require a mishkan. And the Mishkan wasn't built yet. So I saw where Yaakov Kamenetsky and others point out that the message is the purpose of getting Paraduma now wasn't to keep the laws of Paraduma, but as Rashi says, Sheyis Asku Behem, to be involved, to learn them. And the Mefarshim explained, Paraduma is the ultimate chok. It's a mitzvah which defies rational thinking, and the message of Paraduma is you have to do what Hashem says, whether you understand it or not. And that message was important for us to absorb before Matan Torah. So Shabbos, they were practicing keeping Shabbos, they kept Shabbos. Dinim, they kept the laws of Dinim. Paraduma, they weren't keeping the halachos. They were learning Paraduma as part of their hachana for Matan Torah, the proper hashkafic approach to Matan Torah, and that's the idea behind, and that's why it says, Sheyis Asku Behem, to be involved in them, not necessarily to keep all of these mitzvos, but to be learning and involved in them, that was part of our hachana for Matan Torah. That's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's a very nice shot in that pasuk. But at the end of the parak, it says, Vayavo Elima Visham Shtemeshe Enos Maim, 12 springs of water. In other words, right after they left Mara, they found 12 springs of water. So the Chafetz Chaim and others say the following idea. They complained about the lack of water, and they cried out to Hashem. It was right around the corner. They didn't have to cry out. Hashem has a plan. Hashem gives us whatever we need. So Bnei Yisrael jumped the gun a little bit, but right around the corner is where the water was waiting for them. So this is a lesson for us for the future, that when it seems like we're not getting what we need, Hashem has a plan, and you're always allowed to daven. But you shouldn't be complaining about what Hashem's doing. You can always daven. Davening's good. But Bnei Israel complained. They shouldn't have complained. The water was there. It was around the next bend. And that's a lesson for us for the future, to have trust in Hashem, that Hashem's doing what's good for us, and He knows what's best for us. It's a very nice comment of the Chafetz Chaim. This week's parasha, we have the man that comes down. So Rashi quotes in Pasuk Yedalit, that the man came down gift wrapped. Rashi says, "Mishenisgala shichas hatal, ro hayadaber dak mechus pas besocho, bein shtei shichvos hatal." The man was thin, contained between two layers of dew. It came down gift wrapped. This is one of the reasons why we have something under the challah, a challah board or a plate, and we have a cover on top. That the We have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, Zecher to the Mon. The Mon fell double on Friday, so we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos to remind us the Mon fell double on Friday. And we gift wrapped it. We have the challah covered on top and on the bottom as a Zecher to what happened to the Mon. So the message is that you're supposed to think about the Mon when you look at the challah. Avigdor Miller Zatzal says that all the time. Think about it. Look at the challah and think about the Mon. The miracle of the Mon. Hashem does miracles. What an amazing miracle. Hashem provided for us in the Midbar the food for 40 years, and He's providing for us now. So it's not just, oh, we should cover the challahs. We should. But we should cover the challahs in order that we think about the message of covering the challahs, and we think about the fact that the Mon came down gift-wrapped. It's a very nice idea. Very important idea, actually. Okay. Then we have Melchemes Amalek, and Moshe says to Yoshua in Perek Yud Zayin, "Bechar lanu anashim, choose people, choose men for us." Rashi says, "Livalach, he shivayula." Moshe equated Yoshua to himself. This shows Yichvo Tamid Chachav Yivalach Keshalach. Give a lot of cover to your students. Moshe gave a lot of cover to Yehoshua. So this is proper Derech Eretz to give cover, where cover is due. And Rav Neven Sol Shlita likes to explain that we find in the Torah Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah, that before Matan Torah and Yisro, the Torah gives us several examples of Moshe Rabbeinu showing proper Derech Eretz. Here he gives kavod to Yoshua. Later, when Moshe is davening and he gets tired and he has to sit, so he sits on a rock. He sits on a rock, the Torah says. Why on a rock and not on a pillow? So Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Yisrael Shuyim Bitsar, Afaniye Imon Bitsar. If Bnei Yisrael Bitsar, I'm going to be Bitsar too. I'm not going to sit in a comfortable pillow. They're fighting a war and I'm sitting in a comfortable pillow. So Moshe wanted to share in the pain of the Jewish people and he sat on a rock. And similarly, the beginning of Yisro shows the Derech Eretz of Moshe that he listened so carefully. He gave cover to Yisro when Yisro came to see Bnei, when Yisro came to Bnei Yisrael, Moshe stopped Shir to go out to greet him, Hakara Satov. So Neven Sol points out that right before Matan Torah, we see several examples of Moshe Rabbeinu's Derech Eretz. So the Torah itself has Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. About the idea of sitting on a rock. So we visited Rav Shraga Steinman, Shlita, Rav Steinman Zatzal's son. So he told us that during the Six-Day War, his father slept on the floor. Based on this chazal of being nosei b'olim chaveiro, to share in the pain of Bnei Yisrael. But that's interesting. Then he told us that his brother said to him, "How did you know Abba slept on the floor? We never saw him sleeping. We went to sleep and he was still learning. We got up, he was learning already." That was the chiddush in the family, that Rav Shraga happened to notice his father ever sleeping. They never saw him sleeping. Rav Steinman didn't live so much in Olam Hazeh. He barely slept, he barely ate. Rav Neven Sol Shlita told us a famous comment about Rav Steinman. A big Rosh Yeshiva once visited him many years ago. And he was talking to one of his sons, and he asked the son, "What makes your father so special?" So the son said to this Rosh Yeshiva, "What you learn in a month, my father learns in a day. And what you eat in one day, my father eats in a month." And that's what makes Rav Steinman different. All right, that's a good line. Rav Steinman is beyond the level of most of us, maybe all of us, but we can learn from Rav Steinman that, this is the mashal I gave in Shir, let's say a person is wealthy and he's going to buy a nice car. So he can afford the nicest car. But once you meet Rav Steinman or go to his apartment or meet his son, you know what? You'll just buy the nicest car, get by with a little less, and the extra $10,000 you can give to tzedakah. That's how we can take a great gadol and apply him in our, sort of, to our level. I think it's a good application of learning from a gadol and applying him on the level that we're on. We don't need the best, we can get by with a little less. If Steinman got by with almost nothing, we can get by with a little bit less. Okay. During Melchemes Amalek, Moshe raised his hands, and then Bnei Yisrael won. So Rashi quotes from the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, V'chi yadav shal Moshe notzchos hayu amuchama, notzchos hayu amuchama. What, when Moshe's hands were up, we won the war? What, the raising of the lowering of the hands won the war? So the Mishnah says, no, when Moshe's hands were raised, Bnei Yisrael were inspired to look upwards and focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were and they subjected their hearts to Hashem, then they won. But when Moshe's hands were down, so then they weren't as focused on Tavening and Tefillah, and they weren't as focused on Hashem, and then they lost the battle. So Moshe's hands were a symbol of being focused on the Siyata Deshmaya that we need to fight a war. Of course you have to fight, but when you're fighting and you recognize Hashem is the one doing the fighting for you, then you'll be successful. But when you're focused on your own strengths, then you won't be successful. That's the pshat in Moshe raising his hands. That's the pshat with Bnei Yisrael being successful when Moshe raised his hands. Okay, we'll stop.